नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेषिताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the first chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter talks about, is titled as Birth of Lord Krishna, Introduction. So, we saw the situation is actually Mother Earth approaches Brahmaji, along with the demigods approaches Shiradaka Sai Vishnu, and Shiradaka Sai Vishnu communicates to Brahmaji what his plan, and this is communicated to the demigods. And then in the meantime he describes about why Mathura was chosen. Why did Krishna take birth in Mathura? What is the connection between Mathura and Krishna? So, he mentions that how formerly Shurasen had gone to live in Mathura, and there he enjoyed places known as Mathura and Shurasen. And since that time, Mathura has been the capital of the Yadus, even though this is eternally the place of residence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometime ago, and then it is mentioned about Vasudev's marriage. Sometime ago, Vasudev married Devaki, and he mounted the chariot to return home with her. Kamsa, with a desire to please his sister, he became the charioteer. And King Devaka, out of great affection for his daughter, gave her a lot of dowry. And when they were leaving, all the auspicious instruments sounded during their departure. Just at that time, an ashariri, an unembodied voice, addressed Kamsa, told, "O fool, the eighth child of Devaki will kill you." This was the communication. And Kamsa immediately, he picked up the sword and got ready to kill Devaki. You know, with his left hand, he was holding the reins, and with his right hand, he was holding the whip. But immediately, he dropped the reins from the left hand and caught hold of Devaki's hair, and he dropped the whip and picked up his sword to chop off the head of Devaki immediately. Okay. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments, "The affection of materialistic people is flickering and easily transforms into hate. They have no regard for religious principles. They are so shameless that even in the eyes of the common man, they can commit murder." Right. So this is the problem we were discussing in this context. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. So the only thing is that at least devotees, they have a very clear-cut understanding of what is right and what is wrong, and that is driving them. It is not that they don't have a Swabhavajam value system, a kind of value system which is purely experiential. So the problem with this kind of a value system is that when the experience changes, the value system will also change. So therefore, that kind of good qualities is not really very reliable, because the moment your experience changes, your likes and dislikes will change. So currently someone may have likes and dislikes which is in mode of goodness, which is driven by mode of goodness. But the moment the person starts experiencing more and more mode of passion and ignorance, then their likes will change. And if their activities are driven by likes and dislikes, then there is nothing to, then it's always a problem. So that is why, harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna. For one who is not a devotee, where is the good quality because those good qualities are very transient. They can change anytime. Okay. So Kamsa, as of now, when everything is right with, you know, he's with great affection, no one asked him to drive the chariot and personally and all that. But suddenly when his life is threatened, you know, he will do whatever, you know, whatever is favorable for him, he will do. That is right. And whatever he does not like, he will not do. Initially, when everything was fine, he liked to drive his chariot, the chariot of his sister, and please her. But when his life got threatened, he took, with that same hand, he caught hold of her hair and was ready to kill her. So the problem. So how can you actually appreciate his driving the chariot of Devaki, right? So at this point of time, Vasudev, who was endowed with all good qualities, he spoke to Kamsa, trying to pacify him. So Vasudev said, "O Kamsa, you are the pride of the Bhoja dynasty and you have so many good qualities. So therefore, how could you kill a woman and that too one who happens to be your sister and that too on the occasion of her marriage? How could you do this?" How could you do this? That's what he says. That he is using Sama, Dana and Beda here to pacify Kamsa. Bhavan Bhoja Yashaskaraha. You are the pride of the Bhoja dynasty and Shlaganiya Gunashurair, and the great heroes praise your qualities. Okay. So Sama, pacification with kind words, invoking relationship and glorification of qualities. And Dana means talking about personal gain. Okay, if you do this, what you stand to gain. If you don't do this, what you stand to lose. That is Dana. And Bheda means creating fear or dissension. So when he is addressing him as, "Oh Bhavan Bhoja Yashaskaraha, you are, you know, you are a, you are the pride of the Bhoja dynasty." This is actually, he is invoking family relationship. And this is Sama. And then, Shlaganiya Gunaha, Shurair. Your praiseworthy qualities are glorified by the heroes. This is also Sama. This is also Sama. And then he says, Bhaginim. You know, this person whom you are trying to kill is your own sister. This is to invoke fear and doubt. This is Bheda, employing dissension or fear. And then, how could you kill a woman? A woman is supposed to receive your help. How can you kill her? So he says, though Devaki bears your killer, you will gain fame by not killing her, since she is a woman. So you will become famous. Sparing her life, therefore, is helping others. So this is Dana. So, and also Udvaha Parvani. Udvaha Parvani. After all, Devaki is a defenseless woman, your sister, and it happens to be during her wedding. So therefore, he is indicating, currently you are a very famous person, but killing her now will bring infamy in this life and hell in next life. This is Bheda, creating dissension, creating fear. Okay. But the real intent of Vasudev's word should be understood in the other way. So what he spoke, externally taken, will favorably should favorably inspire Kamsa to stop pursuing the murder of his own sister, own cousin sister. But what he really means is, Bhavan Bhoja Yashaskaraha. You are The pride of Bhoja dynasty is a sarcastic statement indicating, oh, you are famous in the Bhoja dynasty only for creating problems. Okay. And Shlaganiya Gunas Shaurair Shurair, you know, he says that you have praiseworthy quality indicates that if you really had praiseworthy qualities, you would not be doing this. The very fact that you are ready to do this means you have absolutely no praiseworthy qualities at all. Okay. So like that. So then he understood that this was not having an effect in Kamsa. Kamsa was not willing to, this did not pacify Kamsa. He was not willing to change his stance at this point. So then he talks about the nature of life. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityur dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. Tasmad aparihariyarte natvam shochitum arhati. As Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, O Arjuna, anyone who is born will have to die. And anyone who dies will definitely get another body. So, therefore, why are you complicating your life? It's not that if this child, if you kill Devaki, who will not deliver your killer? It's not that you are going to live forever. Along with your birth, your death has already been, finalized. When this body is destroyed, the soul automatically receives the next body according to its karma. So according to your karma, karmanugo devantaram, dehantaram. Your next body will be decided by your karma. So think about it, Kamsa. This act of killing your sister is going to decide your next body. Whatever karma you have already done, that cannot be changed. And according to that karma, your next body is waiting. But now if you additionally do this bad karma, abominable karma of killing your own sister, your next body will be decided by that. Karmanugo deha. Do you want to do it? Okay. And then he says, and then he gives two examples to explain this principle. He gives the example of a person walking. When a person walks, before he rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other. So he doesn't jump like a kangaroo, with two foot together. Okay. And or as a worm transfers itself from one leaf to another leaf, which means before it leaves the previous leaf, it automatically it first transfers itself to the next leaf. So in the same way, the jiva attains the next body in a subtle form even before he leaves the previous body. Okay. So therefore, you will not be losing anything. Kamsa. Okay. So your next body will definitely be ready. So you will not be losing anything. Once you get your new body, you will anyways forget your old body. Just as in a dream, you forget your present body. So it is just the moment you get your new body, immediately the old body is forgotten. So therefore, to protect such an old body, which you will anyway forget the moment you get your new body, why you are going to the extent of killing your own sister, which will actually decide which body you will get and where you will get in your next life? It makes no sense. So don't do it. Then he says, whatever objects the mind is attached to, it can enjoy if karma allows. If your karma is favorable, then whatever your mind is attached to, you can enjoy it. And because of its close association with the mind, the soul also get enjoy the same with the mind, the same object with the mind. Yeah. So this is where we ended our discussion day before yesterday. Okay. So before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on whatever we have summarized today or whatever we discussed during last session, if there is any quick discussion points, you can please go ahead. Yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Prabhuji.
Dandavat Mataji.
Prabhuji, I didn't understand the actions of the demigods, Prabhuji, in this, it is mentioned now that in order to hasten the Krishna's appearance, that means they were already knowing that the Lord is going to appear, and also they had gone with the Brahmaji with the earth to meet the Lord on Shvetadvipa, and there also they understood that yes, Krishna is coming. Then why there was no need that unembodied voice sort of a thing which was managed by demigods? Because that caused so much problems and so much suffering for the pure devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki. So what was the actual intention of that which caused so much suffering for the Lord's devotees? If that voice was not there, there was no problem at all. No?
I mean, in one sense, it is what is mentioned in the commentary is that, yes, I mean, that they were really concerned. They were, see, of course, faith is there, but faith is not complete. They were definitely, they have mixed devotional faith. So they could not probably completely trust the Supralord, because they thought Krishna's Bhakta Vatsalya will always prevail. If Kamsa shows so much affection to Devaki, then Krishna will see that, oh, here is one who is being so nice to my devotee. So I will spare that person. So if he spares Kamsa, then we will suffer. Like that they were thinking. So, which is natural. Not that they don't have faith in Krishna, but the thing is, they want to be very safe here, because no one can understand the plan of Krishna. So one thing you know for sure is Krishna is Krishna Bhakta Vatsala. And if someone is unfavorably disposed towards the devotees, then Krishna will definitely punish. And if someone is favorably disposed towards that devotee, then Krishna will become very favorably disposed towards that person. So then the demigods will be in trouble. So the demigods wanted to be doubly sure. Because they knew, okay, if Kamsa goes against Vasudeva and Devaki, anyway, Krishna will definitely protect them. But Kamsa will receive the punishment from Krishna so that we can be saved. So from that perspective, thinking in this way, and of course, Krishna sanctioned it also. So, like that.
Krishna sanctioned it means Prabhuji, Krishna also wanted such intimation to be given to Kamsa, like me.
Well, in one sense, he did not instigate the demigods to give that ashariri, but the demigods themselves were, due to lack of complete faith, they did it. And Krishna utilized that also favorably in his pastime. That is how we understand.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Anything else before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. So this is Vasudev trying to pacify Kamsa through various means. So Vasudev continues. He says,
Jyotiryataivo dakapati veshvadah samira veganugatam vibhavyate evam swamaya rachiteshva saupuman guneshu raganugato vimuyati.
Yata jyotihi, when the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars,
అధః విభావ్యతే ఆర్ రిఫ్లెక్టెడ్ ఉదక పార్థివేషు ఇన్ లిక్విడ్స్ లైక్ ఆయిల్ ఆర్ వాటర్ సమీర వేగానుగతం దే అపియర్ టు బీ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెంట్ షేప్స్ sometimes round, sometimes long and so on because of the movements of the wind. Okay, there is lot of purportic it's a very purportic translation. Samira vega anugatam means because of the influence, they become influenced by the movement of the wind. Okay, so therefore sometimes they appear round, sometimes long and so on, right? Evam, in the same way, asau puman, the living entity, swamaya rachiteshu, guneshu raganugato. The living entity is absorbed in various manifestations of his own identity, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts. Similarly, when the living entity is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, swamaya rachiteshu guneshu raganugato, he accepts various manifestations of his own identity because of ignorance. Vimuhyati. In other words, one is bewildered by mental concoctions because of agitation from the modes of material nature. So, this is what here he is telling, that when the luminaries in the sky, such as moon, suns and the stars, adaha vibhavyate, when they are reflected, you know, in objects below them, like udaka parthiveshu, like oil or water, in that, and that too, samira vega anugatam. And also, when that reflecting surface is affected by the movement of the wind, okay, so then the reflection of the luminary looks quite different, you know, it looks depending on the viscosity of the reflecting surface and depending on the intensity of the wind that is blowing. So the reflection looks quite significantly or at least slightly different from the original object in the sky. In the same way, so this is the explanation, this is the analogy that is given. Now, can you please map the analogy? Okay. So, what are the objects? The moon, sun and the stars. Okay. That is the object. And then there is oil and water, that is the reflecting surface. And then there is wind. That is the third thing. Okay. So, now, can you please translate this analogy in an understandable way? What is Krishna trying to communicate through this analogy? Would anyone like to explain what is this analogy which is being explained here? What is the wind? What is the sun, moon and the stars? And what is water or oil? And how do you translate this analogy in an understandable way? Would anyone like to share your thoughts on this? Any thoughts? What is the... what is the explanation that what is it that Vasudeva is trying to communicate to Kamsa here? What is your understanding? Yes, Krishna Nam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
My understanding is that the jivas, the living entities, are like the moon and the luminaries in the sky.
Uh-huh.
And the three material modes which cause the material existence. Mm-hmm. It's like the blowing wind.
Okay.
And the false ego or identification or upadis is like the surface of oil or water. So the living entities identify themselves in different false ways depending on the movement of the three modes, just mm-hmm. as the luminaries appear differently by mm-hmm. the movements of the wind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Let's see what others have to say about this. Thank you. Okay, Adi Bhagavan Prabhu says, sun or moon is the soul, wind is the materialistic thoughts, and the distorted objects are the manifestations of ignorance. Okay, thank you. Anyone else would like to share your thoughts if it is different from this? Okay, Kalanidhi Prabhu says, wind is karma vasanas. Okay. Yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, what I could understand is Jiva's ignorance under the mode of influence is the oily surface or the surface of water, and his materialistic thoughts which keep on generating, they are like the winds which move this frame of oil or whatever. And because of that, the moon and the stars are like Jiva's own swarupa, which gets distorted due to all this.
Okay, thank you. More or less, I think everyone has answered the same thing. Let us see what is the explanation of the acharyas, and then we will come back to, you know, do the summary of the verse. So here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, now, Vasudeva gives an example to show how the soul, due to associate with the mind, attains the same destination. Okay. So the soul is the, okay, let's see. Jyotihi, sunlight or moonlight. Udaka refers to water, oil or ghee. The image of the sun is reflected on the surface of water, but it changes shape as the wind blows the surface and produces ripples. Okay. In the bodies created by the Lord's Maya or by one's own ignorance, the living entity following the mind, which is filled with desires for enjoyment, becomes bewildered and takes up the same desire for enjoyment. So he says, Vasudev said, by killing Devaki, you will obstruct the soul's desire to enjoy. Okay. Even if you die, you will enjoy in the next body because you will attain an auspicious body, since your good deeds must bear result. But killing Devaki will bring you suffering in the future. Your death by the future son of Devaki, which was announced in the sky, is unavoidable as it is under the laws of karma. Therefore, Kamsa, you should accept that death. All you can do is have Markandeya Rishi perform some ceremonies as preventive measures. This is what he is indicating here. Let us go again to read and try to understand. As I mentioned in the beginning only, at least till the first 13 chapters, for the first 13 chapters when Srila Prabhupada has done the translation and purport, it becomes little bit difficult to do the, because we are trying to read Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary here with the Shabdartha and explanation, translation which is given by Prabhupada. So this becomes little bit difficult to actually match perfectly. So that is why I come first to the explanation commentary given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and then so that we can summarize the understanding of the verse in such a way that it is, we will be able to connect the summary with the explanation given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary. Okay. So let us go through this again. So what exactly Vasudev trying to communicate? Now Vasudev gives an example to show how the soul, due to association with the mind, attains the same destination. Because this is what he mentioned, that because of its close association with the mind, the soul also gets to enjoy the same with the mind. The same destination, actually. The same destination with the mind. So here in this verse, he gives the example to explain how the soul, because of its close association association with the mind, attains the same destination. Okay, so here he says that, so that is what he is going to say. And another example is given by Rahuguna to Jadabharata. Anyways, we will see that example little later. So he says, sunlight or moonlight is Jyotihi, and Udaka refers to water, oil or ghee. So he says, the image of the sun is reflected on the surface of water. Okay. But it changes shape as the wind blows. Okay. It changes shape as the wind blows the surface and produces ripples. Okay. So the sun, moon, etc. is soul. Okay. And water, the reflecting surface, is the mind. Actually, mind can be, and the wind is the three modes and material vasanas. Okay. So when the actually the wind can affect the mind only. Okay. Wind can affect water only. It cannot affect the sun or moon. Okay. But due to false ego, when the living entity identifies with the mind, then he experiences the changes of the mind because of his misidentification. Even though the soul is not touched by, you know, Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, Sangatas, Chetana, Dhriti, Eta Kshetram Samasena Savikaram Udahritam. Krishna tells in the 13th chapter, I guess, 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, Sangatas, Chetana, Dhriti. These are, you know, Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham. These are all transformations of the mind. Savikaram. Eta Kshetram Samasena Savikaram Udahritam, Krishna says. You know, these constitute kshetra and its transformations. So Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham are transformations of the mind. When the jiva wrongly identifies with the mind, then he also undergoes Iccha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, etc. Okay, so that is what is being mentioned here. In the bodies created by the Lord's Maya or by one's own ignorance, the living entity following the mind here means identifying with the mind. Okay. Identifying with the mind, which is filled with desires for enjoyment, raganuga. So here the verse says, raganugato guneshu. So this is samira veganugatam. So the water undergoes samira veganugatam and the mind undergoes guneshu raganugato. So samira is wind. Guneshu is the three modes. Vega is force. Raga is attachment. Anugatam means follows. Anugato means follows. Okay. So what follows Samira Veganugatam? Water. Okay. What is affected by the force of the wind? Water. Similarly, what is affected by Guneshu Raga Anugato? What is affected by the attachment to the gunas? Mind. But by that, but the problem is the wind moves the water, but along with the wind, the shape and size of the moon and sun, which is reflected on water, that also changes. The problem is that when one identifies the reflected moon as the real moon, then he thinks that the moon also gets elongated. It does not have a fixed shape. The moon size and shape changes according to the intensity of the wind, like that he will think. Similarly, when the jiva misidentifies with the mind, with the gross body and the subtle body, especially the subtle body, then when the mind undergoes transformations due to Guneshu Raga, attachment to gunas, just like the water can undergo transformation due to Samira Vega. Just like water can undergo transformation due to Samira Vega, the mind can undergo transformation due to Guneshu Raga. And when the jiva identifies with the mind, then the jiva also partakes or thinks he is affected by Ichcha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, Sangatas, Chetana, Adriti. That is what is being mentioned here. Okay. So in the bodies, Guneshu, created by the Lord's Maya or by one's own ignorance, the living entity following the mind. So Guneshu Raga Anugato, the jiva is following the mind, which is getting affected by the Guneshu Raga, which is filled with desires for enjoyment, becomes bewildered and takes up the same desire for enjoyment. So so the jiva thinks, I can enjoy matter. The jiva thinks, I can enjoy favorable combination of matter and I will suffer due to unfavorable combination of matter. The jiva thinks in this particular way because of Guneshu Raga Anugato, and because of that, because of his identification with the mind, which is undergoing transformations due to Guneshu Raga. The Satoguni, when there is a predominance of Satoguni impressions, he develops particular actions. But when that balance is changed, and when Rajoguni impressions become stronger, then the mind becomes attracted to different objects, like that. And when the jiva, when he is identifying with the mind, he also thinks that, oh, I enjoy this, I don't enjoy this. I enjoy this, I don't enjoy this. Even though jiva cannot enjoy matter at all. Whether that matter manifests itself in the sattvaguni objects or the rajoguni objects or tamoguni objects. Okay. But because of identification with the mind, the soul also suffers. And this is what here, Rahuguna also tells Jadabharat, that Jadabharat tells, look, you are not this body. You are not this mind. So you should not take your sufferings very seriously. But Rahuguna says, Stalyagni tapat payasobi taptaha tat tapatas tandula garbarandi. He gives this example. Yes, he says that the pot is there on fire. Okay. And the milk is in touch with the pot. And the rice is in touch with the milk. Okay, so even though it is the part which is directly affected by the fire, which means even though our gross senses are affected by adhyatmic, adhibhautik and adhidaivik kleshas, because of, so the fire is the three types of tapas which affects the gross body, and milk is compared to, so the pot is the gross body, fire is the adhyatmic, adhidaivik and adhibhautik kleshas, milk is the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, etc. Because the mind is in close touch with the pot, the milk also, because the mind is in close touch with the body, body also experiences, the mind also experiences the heat. And because the rice is in touch with the milk, when the milk becomes hard, the rice gets cooked. Even though the rice is not in direct touch with, either the fire or the pot, but still it gets cooked. How? Because it is in touch with milk, which is in touch with pot, which is in touch with fire. So therefore, here the fire is the miseries that the body experiences. Milk is the subtle body. The rice is the soul. So even though the soul is not directly in touch with fire, but because of its connection to the subtle body, which is connected to the gross body, which is connected to the adhyatmic, adhidaivik and adhibhautik kleshas, therefore the rice also gets cooked. Similarly, the jiva also experiences the suffering. So this is the explanation that he gives. How can you say that I should not be affected by these things? Yes, everything is happening on the bodily platform, and the soul has nothing to do with it, but the soul is very closely connected to the subtle body, which is very closely connected to the gross body, which is undergoing suffering. So how will the soul not be affected by it? This is a very practical question Rahuguna as Jadabharat. So similarly here, Vasudev is telling Kamsa that, my dear Kamsa, you see here, your soul, the soul, because of its misidentification with the mind, undergoes the suffering which only the mind needs to undergo. The soul need not undergo this suffering, but because of this wrong identification. So all that Kamsa is telling is, all that Vasudeva is telling Kamsa is, Kamsa, please don't look at the, you are misidentifying with the reflection on the water to be the real moon. Just look up, don't look down, look up, and you will see that the sun or moon is not at all affected by the Samira Vega. The sun or moon is not affected by the Samira Vega, the intensity of the wind. Samira Vega affects only the water. And because you think the reflection of the moon on water is the real moon, you think that the moon is affected by Samira Vega. But in reality, the moon is on top of your head and it is not, you know, below you getting reflected on the water. So similarly, since the water is Samira Vega Anugato, and because of misidentification, you think that the sun or moon is also Samira Vega Anugato. Similarly, it is only the material mind which is actually Guneshu Raganugato. But when you identify with the material mind, if you identify the soul with the material mind, then the soul also will think that I am having a desire, Icha, and I hate this Dvesha. Oh, I will feel happy if I get this Sukham. I will feel very unhappy if I don't get this Dukkham. Icha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, which are all characteristics of the mind, the soul also experiences. So that is what he is telling. This is the problem with your misidentification, Kamsa. actually, you know, you are getting so agitated. You don't have to, because that Ichcha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham, it is all in connection with the material mind. It has nothing to do with the soul. Like that he gives this example here. So he says that in the bodies created by the Lord's Maya or by one's own ignorance, the living entity following the mind, which is filled with desires for enjoyment, becomes bewildered and takes up the same desire for enjoyment. Vasudev said, by killing Devaki, you will obstruct the soul's desire to enjoy. Okay. Your mind wants to enjoy good things. Okay. And identifying with your mind, your soul also wishes to enjoy good things. But what will happen? By your killing Devaki, even though your mind may still want to enjoy good things, but your karma will not allow. So you will end up suffering in hell. Even if you die, you will enjoy in the next body, because you will attain an auspicious body, since your good deeds must bear results. But by killing Devaki, you will bring suffering in the future. Your death by the future son of Devaki, which was announced in the sky, is unavoidable, as it is due to the laws of karma. Therefore, Kamsa, you should accept that death. All you can do is have Markandeya Rishi perform some ceremonies as preventive measures. You may try to do that, but don't try to kill. Okay. So here he is telling that you, just as so he says that it is only the mind which experiences happiness and distress. And because of its close connection with mind, the soul also experiences such emotions. Okay. Therefore, the soul also wants to enjoy material things, material facilities, just like the mind. But if you kill Devaki, the future enjoyment, the future enjoyment of your soul will be compromised. Okay. Will be compromised. And you will not be able to escape death, because whatever because you have been cursed to die from the hands of the eighth child, that will anyway happen. So it says that you will die from the hands of the eighth child, or you will die due to the eighth child, that will not change. But your future happiness or suffering is dependent on what action you perform now. So even though Ichcha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukkham has nothing to do with soul, but you are adamant that no, it is mine. I only experience that suffering. Okay, fine. Because of your identification with your mind, you think that you are experiencing happiness and distress. But still, by killing Devaki, your happiness will be compromised severely, and your distress will increase due to committing this activity. And on top of that, the eighth child of Daivaki will anyway kill you because that is karma. That has been destined already. That is actually predestined. So how are you going to escape it? So you're, you know, you should do the cost benefit analysis. You will anyway die as per destiny. You cannot escape destiny. If at all you want to escape destiny, you should try to do some prayaschitta by calling Markandeya Rishi or something and do some prayaschitta. But just by, you know, killing Devaki, you are just complicating your case. That is what Vasudev is indicating here. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask before we move forward? Okay, there is a question here that what is the verse number? Is it 5, 10, 22? What is the, how does it begin? 5, 10, 22. Is it Stalyagni Tapat Payasobi Taptaha Tapatas Tandula Garbarandi? Is that the verse? Is that the verse? 5, 10, 22. Thali Agni Tapat. Is that how it starts? 5.10.22. The canto is right, but I am not able to recollect the exact chapter number and the verse number. So how does the verse start? 5.10.22. Yeah, okay. Stalagni tapat payasobi taptaha tattapatas tandulakar barandi. Yeah, correct. This is the same verse. Yeah, thank you. Okay, if there are no further discussion points, comments or questions, let us continue our... So, he is continuing. Vasudev is going to continue instructing Kamsa. Not instructing, actually giving some good advice to Kamsa. So he says, Tasmad nakascha droham acharet satata vidaha atmanakshema manvichan drogdur vaiparato bhayam. So he says, Tasmad, therefore, tata vidaha. Therefore, since envious, impious activities cause a body in which one suffers in the next life. Actually, tata vidaha means one who understands this principle. That is the meaning of tata vidaha. One who understands this principle which has been described in the previous verse, tasmat, therefore, kasyachit droham na acharet. He would not cause suffering to anyone else. Okay. Kasachit droham na achare. Atmanah kshema manvichan. Therefore, considering one's own benefit, kasachit droham na acharit. Again, he said, one should not envy anyone. Drogdurvai parato bhayam. For an envious person must always fear harm from his enemies, either in this life or in the next life. So drogdurvai parato bhayam. Therefore, he says, so he concludes this. So when he says tasmad, he is going to come to a conclusion. So comes Vasudev says, therefore, tata vidaha, one who understands this principle or these conclusions, kasyachit droham na acharet, he would never act impiously to affect anyone. Okay. Atmanah kshema manvichan. So therefore, considering one's own welfare, one should not impiously and envy anyone and cause harm to anyone. Why? Drogdurvai paratobayam. Because if one is envious, he will always have to fear about his enemies. Okay. Like that. So let's go to the explanation and then get back to summarizing the verse. So he says, sa tata vidaha, means a person covered by ignorance should not commit violence. Drogdur means envious. For one who commits violence to others, there is fear of harm from Yamaraj and others. Parataha. In this verse, Vasudeva uses the diplomatic principle of bheda to instill fear in Kamsa. Okay. So this is hours indicating Veda. Okay. Therefore, one who understands this principle will never cause harm to others. Such an act will lead to fear of Kamsa, and Kamsa in particular, and karma, one's own karma in general. Okay. Because of which they will have to suffer bad karma. Okay. So then he says, Eshatavanu Jabala Tripana Utrikopama Hantum Narhasi Kalyani Imam Tvam Dina Vatsalaha. Esha Tava Anuja, this younger sister of yours, Kripana Bala, she is a very helpless young girl. Putrikopama, she is as good as your daughter. Kalyanim, she deserves to be affectionately maintained by a person like you. Tvam Dina Vatsala, and you are certainly merciful to suffering souls. Antum na arhasi, therefore you should not kill her. She deserves your affection. Okay. This poor young sister of yours is like your daughter. She deserves your affection. Okay. O Dinavatsala. Like that he addressed. Following the saying, by praise the ferocious becomes tamed. Vasudev again began praising Krishna. So this is actually Sama. He again gets back to Sama. By praising, the ferocious gets tamed. Okay. Putrika Upama means daughter. Devaki deserves your mercy because she is just like your daughter. The sentence can also mean Devaki is petrified like a doll out of fear. Putrika also means, you know, like a puppet. Kripana means fearful. Kripana Putrikopama means, see, she has become petrified like a doll. Petrified means completely stunned in fear. Like that. So Dina Vatsala means, he says that you should not kill her because you are compassionate to the suffering. The real meaning of Dina Vatsala, however, is one who accepts even a cough from a most poor person as a tax. Oh, so this is the alternative, you know, meaning. So this is the alternative meaning. Okay. Dina, from the most fallen person who cannot have to give any tax, all that he has is a vatsa, is a small calf, which can't even give milk. But Dina Vatsala means he takes even the calf from the most fallen person as a tax. So you are Dina Vatsala. That is the indirect meaning of the word Dina Vatsala, which is meant to be a kind of criticism of Kamsa. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move forward? Okay. Ramani Tungavidya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for your deep explanations. Prabhu, in the previous sloka, it is mentioned that Kamsa was envious, but he is acting because he knew the news that he is going to be killed. How to relate enviness in this?
I don't understand, Madhuji. What is your question?
In the previous sloka, it is mentioned Kamsa is envious, right?
Yeah, correct. It says Drogdur.
Because his life is in danger, he is trying to kill Devaki. Otherwise, he was just before his act shows that he was affectionate. How to understand he was envious in this particular situation?
See, envious here means one who is willing to harm others. That is the way in which Prabhupada uses the word envy here. Envy does not mean just envious. Envy here means willing to harm others to protect oneself. That is the way in which Prabhupada is using the word envy here. So that is the way it should be confirmed. That is the way it should be understood. So here Kamsa is envious because he is willing to harm Devaki for protecting his own life. That is the way Prabhupada uses the word envy. He is not using the word envy in the very classical sense that, you know, for envy you should have someone else with whom you can compare and, oh, he has got more, I have got less, so I am feeling envious. No, this is not the way in which Prabhupada is using the word envy here. Envious means willing to harm others for one's own benefit. That is the way in which Prabhupada is using the word envy here. It's not, he's not using the word in a very classical sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Madhavi Gopi Mati.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, this is regarding the previous sloka and the analogy we discussed, like how the mind is in close proximity of the subtle body and the soul is in proximity with the mind and mind is in like that. So, but then how to separate the thing, like if, when the milk is on the gas or stove, whatever, in the pot, and the rice is there inside, it is bound to get heat because of the close proximity. Similarly, the soul, which is in such a close proximity with the mind, subtle body and the gross body, it is bound to get heat. So, what are the factors by which we can not nullify but at least reduce the effect of one is bhakti, of course, but that is a very gross answer, I feel. But how we can, you know, nullify or reduce the effect of that proximity of the soul with the mind?
Well, in one sense, by even understanding that the soul is actually not getting affected by it, at least it will give some reason to actually tolerate. Okay, if I just tolerate for a while, then at least I will understand in future that, you know, it is not going to cause any damage to my soul, because the soul is only imagined to have a connection with the gross body and subtle body. In reality, the soul has no connection with the gross body or subtle body. So even this theoretical knowledge will at least give us some impetus to tolerate and not act inappropriately. And of course, parallelly, we keep practicing bhakti, and then along with bhakti, there will also be pareshanubhava and virakti. And when that virakti is there, then automatically we will not get attracted. So this example that Prahuguna is given, it's not a complete analogy, just like any material analogy. It is not a very complete analogy because the rice is always in milk, the milk is always in pot, the pot is always in fire. But in the case of the jiva is imagining to be in close proximity with mind. So the rice has no choice, but the jiva has choice. So the proximity is not geographic or physical proximity. The proximity is created due to avidya or ignorance. So when that avidya is addressed, then the jiva realizes that he has actually no proximity to the mind. So that is the point. That is why this essential sambandha jnana is important, at least to at least to get started. And subsequently, full realization of that sambandha jnana will manifest only by only when the heart becomes purified by practice of bhakti, only then it will become realized completely. But at least to get started, this sambandha jnana is very critical.
Yeah, this is a very good point, and we explained it very nicely that actually, like, the analogy may be that, but jiva's proximity with the mind is actually imagined thing. So
yeah,
the sufferings are also actually virtual sufferings and virtual enjoyment. Whatever we do, it is not actual.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yes, Radhamutru.
Bro, I have some more things to add to this. I have two, sir, also on this. So here, too, there is one more example is given. What fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is telling?
Mm-hmm.
That how we are not the doer of activity. Asnan, smashan, punishan, nimishan, api in that shloka. So what is understood is that, we are the observers. So we are not the doers. So once you start becoming the observer of activity, then you will not get affected by it. So that is the method that is practiced by jnanis. So how it is, like, if if some person is watching a movie, so he is going through all the emotions. If he's so much absorbed in the movie, he goes through emotions, a horror movie or a tragedy or comedy or whatever is there. He's going through all the emotions. But at the end, he's very happy because he knows it is not happening to me. It is happening to a third person. Means he is observer.
Yes.
So similarly, in our life, if we are observer,
at the end, he either becomes happy or he becomes distressed, depending on how the movie ends, actually.
So all the movies are tragedy. Life is tragedy only at
the end. If the movie has a very pleasant ending, then at the end of the movie, he feels sad because all the while he was just imagining himself to be the hero, but he realizes, oh, it was just a movie. And if it's a tragic ending to the movie, then at the end of the movie, he feels relieved. Oh, thank God it was just a movie like that. Just like at the end of a good dream, you feel very bad because, oh, it was so nice, but alas, it was just a dream. Or if it was a very terrible, scary dream, then when you get up, you feel like, oh, thank God, it was just a dream like that.
So here, the point what I want to tell is, like, why people go for movie, even though there will be some sort of pleasure or pain, whatever comes, because they know it is not happening to them. So because he's an observer. So similarly, when a person becomes the observer of what is happening in his life, he will not get affected by the events and he can remain... He will go through emotions, like a person watching a movie, he may go through emotions, but he knows that it is not him. So it gives some sort of, because that being aloof from the situation gives some sort of pleasure. Even people go wantedly to horror movie or a tragedy movie because they know it does not happen to them. It is I just have to observe. So similarly in life also, a person will go through all the emotions, but if he keeps this, that it is not me, if he gives up this false identification, the false ego, then he will not much get affected. He will go through, not that he will be emotionless, but he knows that, okay, it's an observer. It is happening to me. This is how it is. And when it comes to devotees, what happens is, say if a person is watching a movie and he's having the most dearest person besides him. So he's going through all the emotions of the movie, but inside he's happy because I'm sitting with my closest person. Correct. So for a devotee, he is very happy that I always have Krishna with him. I have to go through all this emotional state and whatever is happening in life. Does not matter because I have Krishna with me. So he's very blissful in that way. So externally he may go through, like Kunti is going through or Pandavas are going through or here. we see different situations, but they always are blissful because they know Krishna is beside me sitting when I'm watching all these things that is happening in my life.
Yes, true. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
And regarding this envy, I have one. So, if you see when Sudeva Goswami started speaking Bhagavatam, when he says this shloka, Nidra hiyate naktam vyavayena cha vavayaha, then the translation Prabhupada gives is the envious householder. But the word envy is not there only in that.
Not there, correct.
So, why he gives envious householder? As soon as you start thinking this is mine, you will become envious. That is how this system is. Because you will see that, oh, my car is smaller than their car. This is my car, this is their car. As soon as you have this, so why he is telling envious householder? Because he thinks these are mine, he keeps a border, and he will definitely become envious. That's how.
Correct.
So here Kamsa is thinking this is mine, he's a friend, enemy. So default there is envy in him.
Correct. But yeah, true. And that envy is what causes the desire to hurt the sister.
So as soon as you think that this is not mine, immediately you want to destroy, or you want to, because you compare, the envy is there. So you may react based on your mood. Envy is there, you react accordingly. Kamsa will react to beat, somebody will cry because I don't have some things which they have, or somebody will react, different people react differently. Kamsa is reacting violently.
Correct. Yes, bro. Thank you. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share as and before we move forward? Okay. Let's continue then. So, now, whatever Vasudev had to speak in terms of Sama, Dana, Veda, he has tried. So now Kamsa is going to respond. What is Kamsa's reaction to Vasudev? Whatever he has spoken. So Shukadev narrates about Kamsa's reaction. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Sasama Birbedair Bodhyamano Pidarunah Nanyavartata Kauravya Purushadana Nuvratah. O Kauravya, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Darunah. This cruel Kamsa, Purusha Adan Anuvrata, who was actually a follower of the Rakshasas, Nanyavartata, he could neither be pacified nor terrified. Evam Samabir Bedair Bodhyamanopi. Even though he was pacified by Sama, Veda, Dana, everything, Bodhyamanopi. Nanyavartata, he could not be pacified. Okay. He did not care about the results of sinful activities either in this life or in the next life. Okay. So even though, did we do the summary of the previous? Okay. Yeah. So here he says, even though Vasudev tried to pacify him through Sama, Dana, Bheda, Kamsa was not pacified. Okay. Even though Kamsa was instructed by Vasudev with pacifying and fear instilling words, Sama and Veda, because he kept company with Rakshasas, Purusha Adan, he did not give up his intent to kill her. So here he says, Purusha Adan Anuvrataha. Anuvrataha means he was the follower of the Rakshasas. He had association of the Rakshasas. So that influenced his response to this situation. So, like that. So, then So now when this also did not work, now Vasudev has to quickly think of some means to protect Devaki. Nirbandham tasyatam gyatva vichintyanaka dundubihi praptam kalam prativyodum idam tatranvapadyata. Anaka dundubi. Vasudev's other name was Anaka Dundubi. Okay. So he was called as Anaka Dundubi because if my memory is right, when he took birth, it was at that time only announced, or it was known that he would become the father of the Supreme Lord, because of which all the auspicious instruments like Anaka and Dundubi, they started, they were played, because this was the auspicious birth of a person who would be the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, he was called as Anaka Dundubi. Anaka is a Panavanaka Gomuka, Anaka is a kind of instrument and Dundubi is a kind of drum. Okay, these are all instruments which are played during some auspicious occasions. So Anakas and Dundubis were playing automatically celestial instruments when he took birth. So therefore, along with the Ashariri, I think an Ashariri speaks and tells that, this child will become the father of the Supreme Lord or something like that. And followed by which this Anakas and Dundubi started playing. So therefore, Vasudev is also called as Anaka Dundubi. When Vasudev, tasyatam nirbandham gyatva, understanding that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister Devaki, he understood that he is not going to change. Vichintya, he started thinking very deeply. Praptam prativyodum kalam, considering that the time of imminent danger of death had come, idam tatra anvapadyata, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. Understanding that Kamsa was adamant, Vasudev thought of another plan. So Dundubihi, at my birth, this is the one. At my birth, the demigod sounded drums, Dundubi. Therefore, nothing unfortunate can happen to me. So this is the meaning of why here Vasudev in this particular section is addressed as Anaka Dundubi. Because even though it seems like a externally very, very unfortunate situation, but nothing unfortunate shall happen because Vasudev is Anaka Dundubi. At my birth, the demigod sounded drums. Therefore, nothing unfortunate can happen to me. With this certainty, Dev, whose second name is Anaka Dundubi, thought of a way to avoid the imminent danger to Devaki. So he thought, if I am Anaka Dundubi, then nothing unfortunate can come. So which means I don't have to fear. All I need to do is to peacefully think of the next plan to save Devaki. Like that he was thinking. So he says, Mrityur buddhimatapohyo yavad buddhibalodayam yadyasaunani varteta naparadosti dehinaha. So he says, yavad, as long as buddhi bala udayam, as long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, buddhimataha, an intelligent person, mrityu apohyaha, he must try to avoid death. As long as one is endowed with intelligence and bodily strength, one should try one's best to avoid death. Okay. This is the duty of every embodied person. Yadyasau na nivart, but if the situation is such that death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, Dehinaha na aparadosti. A person facing death commits no offense. Okay. So what does this mean? So he says, Yavat buddhi. As long as a person has power and intents, he will try to avoid death. I cannot use strength to avoid Devaki's death as Kamsa's hands, at Kamsa's hands, but I can use my intelligence. That is the meaning. So he says that as long as one has intelligence and power, one should use it to avoid death. Okay. Okay. But if death cannot be avoided, then the person commits no offense. If he has tried his best using his intelligence and bodily strength, okay, but still he is not able to save himself, then he is not at, because he tried his best. But as long as intelligence and strength, if as long as intelligence and strength is there, one should try to avoid death. Okay. And here Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, I don't have sufficient strength to avoid Kamsa, but I can use my intelligence. Like that he was thinking. Then he says, Pradayamritya Veputran Mochaye Kripanamimam Sutame Yadijayeran Mrityurvanamriyetachet Viparyayova Kimnasya Gatirdhatur Duratyaya Upastito Nivarteta Nivritta Punarapatet. Okay. So there is a question in the chat box. A person facing death commits no offense. What does this mean? It means the rule is that as long as you have strength and intelligence, you should try to avoid death. This is a rule. And if someone breaks the rule, then it is considered an offense. But if using both of one's intelligence and strength, if one is unable to avoid death, then one is not one. So that person who cannot avoid death cannot be considered a breaker of that rule because he tried his best. So therefore, here Vasudev is thinking, yes, I understand that as long as I have my intelligence and strength, I should try to avoid death. Okay. I will try my best, and if I am successful, well and good. If I am unsuccessful, then at least I tried, so I cannot be criticized for not following the rule. That is the understanding. Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, it is not clear why it is called offense. If somebody tries to defend himself from death, that is a natural response of any living entity. Where is the question of offense here?
Offense means, I will read the statement again, Prabhu. Here he says, as long as he has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. So this is a rule. The rule is that as long as you have intelligence and bodily strength, you should avoid death. So here, what is offense? If you don't follow the rule, it is an offense. But as long as one has utilized his intelligence and bodily strength to avoid death, but still if he is unable to avoid death, it is not an offense. It is not an offense of not following the rule, because he tried his best, and whatever intelligence and bodily strength that was at his disposal, he tried it. So therefore, there is no offense. That is the meaning.
Offense means there must be an offender and offended. But when the Jiva tries offense? To protect him.
No, Prabhu.
Yeah, who is offense? Being offended here?
You don't take it, you don't take words so literally in their dictionary meaning. Here, offense means when a rule is not followed, it is like an offender. You know, like you say that, you know, here is an offender. He broke the traffic rules. So now, when the traffic rule is broken, who is offended? Right? So it is like that. So the offender means when, so here the word offender is used in the sense of offender to a rule, and not just that, you know, offender means there must be an offended. Who is he offending? It's not like that. Here the word offender means breaker of a rule. The rule is protect your body, avoid death. That is a rule. But despite trying, if you're unable to,
It is used in the sense that there is no fault on his part.
Correct. So he has offense tried his best. Fault. He is not faulty. There is no, the word offender is not used in that sense.
Okay. Thank you, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, even heinous acts in self-defense are allowed. Is it what it means? No, yeah, that is another thing. But here it means because the rule is that as long as bodily as long as strength and intelligence allows, one should try to protect oneself. One should try to protect. But if one is unable to protect despite trying one's best to utilize one's intelligence and bodily strength, then he is not at fault. Because he tried his best. That is what it means. Like that. So, that is my understanding of this. Okay. So, Vasudeva was thinking. Vasudeva considered. Pradaya mrityave putran. Pradaya means to give away. Mrityave putran. By delivering all my sons to Kamsa, who is death personified, mrityave. So Kamsa is mrityave. Why? Because he is death personified. Pradaya, putran, by giving of his sons to this death personified Kamsa, mochaye kripanam imam, I shall save the life of Devaki. Okay, so he was thinking, if I deliver the sons to Kamsa, I can at least protect Devaki. Then he thought, Sutame yadi jayeran mrityurvana mriyeta chet. Perhaps Kamsa will die before my sons take birth, or since he is already destined to die at the hands of my son, one of my sons may kill him. So he was thinking like that. So let me promise that I will give my sons, I will hand over my sons to Kamsa. Okay. So by delivering my sons to Kamsa, I shall at least save the life of Devaki. Perhaps Ka may die even before my children are born. So I may not necessarily have to fulfill my promise to Kamsa because Kamsa may die before my children are born. Or it may so happen that because the Ashariri did say that Kamsa is destined to die in the hands of one of my child, so he may actually die. Okay, that may also happen. So he was thinking, for the time being, let me promise to hand over my sons so that Kamsa will give up this immediate threat. And if in due course of time Kamsa dies, I shall have nothing to fear. This is all, I found for some verses very, very difficult to, you know, plug the words with the translation because it was extremely purportic. So I just wrote the translation and I did not bother to do the anvaya for this particular verse or for some of the verses because it is extremely purportic. So you cannot really match the words with the translation exactly. Okay. So Vasudev thought that by delivering my sons to Kamsa, I can avoid the immediate threat of Devaki's life. And who knows if Kamsa will live till my child's birth, or maybe as destined, one of my sons may kill Kamsa. Therefore, let me take care of the immediate threat. Therefore, let me take care of the immediate threat. That's what he was thinking. So Vasudev silently speaks this verse. This is what I will do. I will give my sons to the personification that comes up. But then Vasudev thinks, that is not proper. With this anxiety, he continues to think, if I don't have any sons, there is no need to worry. If I don't have any sons, then there is no need to worry. Okay, if I have sons and Kamsa has not died by then it is certainly improper, because Kamsa will kill those sons. But I must save Devaki right now. If Kamsa dies before that time, then there is no need to worry, or the opposite may happen. If I give my sons to Kamsa, they may become strong and kill Kamsa. But can infant sons kill Kamsa? You know, he was kind of debating back and forth. Okay. He was thinking, okay, let me now promise that I will give my sons to Kamsa. Okay. So that immediately Devaki can be protected. Then he was thinking, okay, only if I beget sons from Devaki, that is a problem, right? If I don't beget any sons, then there is no problem. Okay. And then he was thinking, well, even if I beget sons, then, Kamsa is anyway destined to die at the hands of my sons. So anyway, they may kill him. But then he was thinking, but how can infant sons, how can an infant kill a great demon like Kamsa? Like that he was going back and forth debating. But then he thought, but the ways of the Lord are hard to understand. But providence has proclaimed that the eighth child will kill Kamsa. Therefore, it is better to save Devaki from Kamsa's hands by promising to give the children to him, for Kamsa also die. So in this way, he was debating what I should do. Okay. Maybe I will promise to give my children to Kamsa. At least that way I can save Devaki. And then he thought, okay, and if Devaki is saved, it is not necessary that I have to beget children from Devaki. There is no problem to anyone. And then he thought, even if I beget, then anyway, according to providence, he has to die by one of my children. So maybe he will die, or maybe he may even die before my children are born. Then there is no issue at all. Like that he was like debating back and forth. And then he thought, okay, anyways, the ways of Krishna are very difficult to understand. Anyways, providence has already claimed that the eighth child of Devaki will kill Kamsa. So therefore, better I save Devaki right now from Kamsa's hands, and I will promise to give him my children. Then one of my children may kill Kamsa also, as Providence has mentioned. Like that he was thinking. Okay. So then he was thinking, Agneryata daru viyoga yogayor adrishtatonyanna nimittam asti evam hi jantor apidur vibhavyah sharira samyoga viyoga hetuhu. Yata agnehe, when a fire adrishtato, for some unseen reason, daru viyoga yogayor leaps over one piece of wood and sets fire to the nest. The reason is destiny. Evam, in the same way, jantoho, when a living entity, sharira samyoga viyoga hetu, accepts one kind of body and leaves aside another, anyadna nimittam asti, there is no other reason other than unseen destiny. Okay. Now, what does this mean? Okay, let us read the translation, explanation, and then get back to the verse. So he says, Vasudev deliberates further. What I have decided to do is not improbable, for no living entity can escape its fate, even Kamsa. To illustrate this, Vasudev gives an example. When there is a forest fire, what causes the fire to burn one tree and not another? There is no other cause than fate. Just as the cause of the tree's suffering is fate, so the cause of a person accepting and losing his body is fate alone. We cannot determine it with our intelligence. Okay. So he says, just as in a forest fire, some trees may get burnt and some others may get saved, and the reason is destiny. Okay. So the reason is destiny. So therefore, if it is destined that either Kamsa kills my children or is killed by them, then I cannot do anything. So the meaning is, let me at least try to protect Devaki. That is the meaning. Okay. So in a forest, you see sometimes, you know, the first tree and the third tree, the first tree and the third tree gets burnt, but the second tree in between two miraculously escapes. The fire jumps from the first tree to the third tree and miraculously, you know, avoiding the tree in between. Sometimes it happens like that. What is the cause? What is the cause of the middle tree getting served miraculously? That is destiny. Therefore, you cannot say anything. So it is quite possible that if it is destiny, if according to destiny, my children have to die in the hands of Kamsa, they will die. If it is destined that he has to die in the hands of one of my children, he will die. But for now, what is there in my hands? At least Devaki's life is there in my hands. Let me try my best to protect them. That is what he was thinking. Okay. Evam vimrishya tam papam yavad atmani darshanam pujayamasa vaishaurir bahumana purassaram. Evam vimrishya, after thinking in this way, yavad atmani darshanam, as far as his knowledge would allow, he was thinking in this way, shaurihi vasudev pujayamasa tam papam, he submits proposal to the sinful Kamsa, bahumana purassaram, with great respect. After considering in this way, Vasudev presented the proposal to Kamsa. Vimrishya means contemplating. After carefully considering the options by using his intelligence to its full capacity to determine the correct path, Vasudev began to praise the most sinful person, Kamsa. So then, what was Vasudev's proposal to Kamsa? Just give me 1 second. So what was Vasudev's proposal to Kamsa? So he says, Prasanna vadanambojo nrishamsam nirapatrapam manasaduyamanena vihasan idam abravit. Duyamanena manasa. Vasudev's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. Nrishamsam nirapatrapam. But in order to please the cruel, shameless and sinful Kamsa, Prasanna vadanambojo vihasan idam abravit. He externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Even though anxious for his wife's life, Vasudev, to please Kamsa, spoke while smiling. Okay. Vihasan means smiling externally. Vasudev smiled externally to show Kamsa that he was internally satisfied, but factually he was suffering internally. Duyamanena manasa. He was great anxiety, but externally he was smiling at Kamsa just to give him the confidence that I am very peacefully speaking this like that. So like that. So Vasudev said, Shri Vasudeva Uvacha, Nahyasyaste bayam saumya yadvai saha shariravak putram samarpayishyesya yataste bayam uttitam. O saumya, O best of the sober persons. So this is Vasudev addressing Kamsa as saumya. This is the greatest joke. O best of the sober persons, nahyasyaste bayam, there is no reason for you to be fearful. Yadvai sa aha ashariravak, because of whatever was spoken by that ashariravak, that unembodied voice, you have nothing to fear. Okay. So he says, yataste bayam uttitam samarpayishye asya putran. Samarpayishye putran. I will asya her putran, sons, samarpayishye. I shall submit to you her sons, yataste bayamuttitam, because of which you are fearful. So Vasudev says, do not fear Kamsa, for I shall present to you all her sons. I shall present to you all her sons. So Asharīravāk, unembodied voice, according to the message heard in the sky, you need not fear Devaki, but her eighth child only. So don't worry, I will give you all eight children. Then you can kill the eighth child whom you fear, or if you wish, you can kill all eight of them, up to you. One by one, I will give you all the children. So that Ashariri told eighth child is the problem. So you kill the eighth child, or if you are fearful, you may kill all the eight children. No problem. Or at least for now, spare Devaki. Don't do anything to her. Okay. Shri Shuka Uvacha Swasurvadan Nivavrite Kamsastadvakya Saravit Vasudevo Pitam Pritaha Prashasya Pravishadgraham. So Shukri Swami continues the story. Kamsaha Tadvakya Saravit. Kamsa agreed to the logical arguments of Vasudev and having full faith in Vasudev's words. Swasuhu Vadan Nivavrite. He refrained from killing his own sister. Vasudevaha apitam pritaha. Vasudev, also being pleased with Kamsa, prashasya pravishad graham, pacified him further and entered his own house. So Kamsa agreed to the words of Vasudev and refrained from killing Devaki. And Vasudev further pacified Kamsa and entered his own house. So Saravit means the essence of truth. Kamsa understood that Vasudev was not lying. So he had faith in the words of Vasudev. Vasudev praised Kamsa by saying that his good character would spread throughout the universe. Okay, he believed it. Okay, I will refrain killing the sister. Atakala upavritte Devaki sarva devata. Putran prasushve cha ashtau kanyam chaivanu vatsaram. Ata kala upavritte anuvatsaram. Each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki sarva devata, Devaki the mother of God and all the demigods, ashtau putran prasushve, gave birth child. Thus she bore eight sons one after another, kanyam cha, and a daughter named Shubhadra. So Sarva Devata means all demigods. Devaki is described as Sarva Devata, the mother of all the demigods, because she is worshipable as the mother of the Lord. So Kanya means daughter. Shubha is the daughter. Every year for 8 years, a son was born. The reason is given in verse 58. So now we are in verse number 56. The reason will be given in 58. Kirtimantam pratamajam pratamajam kam kamsayana kandubihi arpayamasa krichrena sondrutad ativikva anakadundubihi andrutad ativikvalaha. Anakadundubi Vasudev andrutad, because of speaking a lie, ativikvala, he was very fearful. Vasudev was very much disturbed by fear of becoming a liar and breaking his promise. Kritsrena, therefore, with great distress of having to lose his child, Kirtimantam Pratamajam Arpayam Asa Kamsaya, he submitted his first child by the name Kirtiman into the hands of Kamsa. So Vasudev did not want to break his promise. Therefore, with great pain, he submitted his first son, Kirtimon, to Kamsa. Prathamajam means firstborn baby. It was the custom to name the child on the day of his birth. Thus, on that day, the first child named Kirtimon. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as before we move forward? Okay. If there is none, let us continue. So he says, Kim dussaham nu sadhu naam vidusham kim apekshitam kim akaryam tajanam dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. So this is a very interesting verse. So here he says, kim dussaham nu sadhu naam, what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? Vidusham kim apekshitam, how could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? Kim akaryam kadaryanam, what deeds are forbidden for the persons of the lowest character? Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam, and what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? Okay, why this is spoken? Let us first go to the explanation and then come back to summarize the verse. Okay. So, four things that are mentioned. Kim dussaham nu sadhunam. What is difficult to tolerate for a sadhu? Vidusham kim apekshitam. Vidusham means experts or intelligent people. Kim apekshitam. Where is the question of dependence? Apeksha. Kim akaryam kadaryanam. And persons of low character, what they would not be willing to perform? Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. Dhritatmanam. So for those who are very determined, what is difficult for them to give up? This is the literal meaning, but what it exactly means, we will go through the explanation and come back to this. Come back to summarize the verse. So he says, sadhu naam means saint. A question arises. How can I, who am afraid to tell a lie, that is sadhu, tolerate the murder of my own son before my eyes? They were thinking. I am a sadhu, so I cannot tolerate speaking a lie. But a sadhu also cannot tolerate the murder of his own son in front of his own eyes. Like that he was thinking. So like that someone may ask, how can a sadhu who cannot even tolerate telling a lie, how can he tolerate the murder of his own son? So Vasudev gives the answer in this verse. So this is Purva Paksha question. And then the answer is Kim dussaham nu sadhu naam. It is not intolerable for the sadhu. A real sadhu can tolerate. A real sadhu can tolerate. How could Vasudev offer all the children, even without Kamsa ordering, instead of offering just the eighth child to Kamsa? It is not reasonable that a householder be indifferent to his children. So the Purva Paksha question is, how can I, the first question was, how can I, who am afraid to tell a lie, tolerate the murder of my own before my eyes? The answer is, kim dussaham nu sadunam. What is difficult to tolerate for a true sadhu? He can tolerate. Then the next question. Next question is, how could Vasudev offer all the 8 children even without Kamsa ordering? Kamsa did not tell, you give the 8 children. He could have told that I will give you my 8th child. Can you please? He could have told, I will give you the 8th child. And Kamsa might have agreed. And if Kamsa would have denied, then you can give the other 8 children. So how could how could he do it? And it is not reasonable that a householder be indifferent to his children. You know, how could a householder be indifferent from his children? How could a householder be indifferent to his children and allow them to die like this? So in response to this, he says that vidusham kim apekshitam. So this is the vidusham kim apekshitam. Okay. Vasudev is not an ignorant like the normal person in the material world. He was a vidusha. For a person with knowledge, devotion and detachment like Vasudev, is this to be expected? Okay. So vidusham kim apekshitam means an intelligent person is indifferent. So which means indifference is possible for intelligent people. On the other hand, can Kamsa kill his child when he brings that child to him? Is there no mercy in his heart? This is the third question. How can Kamsa kill? Is there no mercy in his heart? In response to this, he says, what is it? Kadaryanam kim? Kim akaryam kadaryanam? Kim akaryam? Kadaryana. Cruel, wicked people, they can do anything. There is nothing which is abominable for them. They can end up doing any abominable thing. In order to avoid fault, so then the next question is, okay, should Vasudev give up householder dharma and not produce any children? Okay. Should Vasudev give up the householder dharma? So Vasudev answers. The fourth line. Dustyajam. Kim dhritatmanam. So the answer is dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. Okay. Dhrita, one who has held atmanam, the supreme lord within one's heart. Kim dustyajam, what is difficult to give up? He who desires to see the lord in the form of his son holds the lord in his heart, dhritatmanam, and remains in household life to bear a son. Because the 8th child was supposed to be the supreme lord. Because Vasudev and Devaki are dhritatmanam, they have held the lord within their heart and they are eager to see that lord. Therefore, it should not be difficult for them to give up the first seven children so that they can have the association of the eighth child, the Supreme Lord. Kim dustyajam dhritatmanam. Dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. So he should have affection for no other son. Let the eighth child be born quick. Let me willingly offer the other children year after year and take responsibility for their death out of eagerness to see the Lord. Kim dustyajam dhritatmanam. So this is what he says. Okay. So the first question is, how can Vasudev tolerate murder of his son? The answer is, Kim dussaham no sadhunam. What is difficult to tolerate for a true sadhu? The second question is, it is but natural to have affection for one's own son or children, for a householder. In response to this, he says, Vidushaam kim apekshitam. Vidushaam kim apekshitam means, Vasudev was not an ordinary ignorant householder. He was Vidusha. He was an intelligent householder. So kim apekshitam. Kim apekshitam means, you know, he says that how could Vasudev offer all children? It is reasonable that his indifference is not impossible for Vidusha. So indifference is not impossible for a Vidusha. Like Vidusha, like Vasudev. And the third question is, maybe Kamsa may spare the children. In response to this, he says, him akaryam katariyanam. Okay. Oh, such cruel people like Kamsa. There is nothing which is forbidden activity for them. They may end up doing anything. And the fourth thing is maybe, because many times people say, oh, this was so simple, common sense, that Vasudev and Devaki could have decided to not have children at all. Very simple. Why did one after another, after another, after another, they begot children? Maybe Vasudev could decide not to have children. Okay. So in response to this, he says, dustyajam kim dhritatmanam. Okay. For one who has held the Lord within their heart, what is difficult to give up? He would give up the first seven children to get the opportunity to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and have his association. Like that it is mentioned. Okay. I think we will pause here. And if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, we will take next time, because we are already 6 minutes over time. So thank you all very much for your patience and your enthusiastic participation. We'll continue this discussion on Tuesday, next Tuesday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.